Well, we read the passage a moment ago where the religious leaders were questioning Jesus' authority to cleanse the temple, to cast people out. And Jesus said, well, I'll answer your question about authority if you're willing to tell me what was behind John the Baptist and his message. What was his message about? Repentance. It was about repentance. And if they were to acknowledge that God was God and John was who he was, called of God to preach repentance, they would have repented. But they didn't repent. And Jesus knew they wouldn't repent. And so he says, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Why did he say that? One, if you already know to do good, but you don't do it, that's judgment you bring on yourself. But if you know to do right, and you're sure of it, and you don't do it, you bring even harsher judgment on your life. And Jesus actually was sparing the religious. I think he had a heart for the religious. He knew that they could change if they would repent, if they would turn, but they refused to do so. And so the truth in our own life so many times is we don't do what we know God wants us to do. And why is that? What's influencing us? And that's the title for this morning's message. If you have a program, you'll see not only the title on the inside, but a follow-along listening guide on the back of the program as well. But we're asking this question, who and what influences you to make the decisions that you make, to go the way that you go? The who in every generation, by the way, has experienced change, and the what for that matter. But we can't deny that the who and the what generally influences the population all around us. And there are new influencers, by the way, that are introduced every day. Influencers, if you're not aware, are individuals with dedicated social media followers who shape audience opinions, who shape the opinions of their listeners or their readers, if you will. And they make purchasing decisions, and they also promote specific niches in like fashion or travel or clothing, whatever the case may be, technology. And they leverage authenticity and expertise to partner with brands, acting as modern intermediate emissaries and influencers, ambassadors for products. There's a lot of different types of influence, and I'm going to go through this just a little bit because I want you to recognize, if you don't already, how prominent influencers are out there and how many are paid influencers, so they have an agenda. But nonetheless, they are influencers. And then I want you to contrast that in your mind when we look at the amount of influencers that are out there on social media alone. Ask yourself, am I being the influencer upon others that God intends me to be? Or am I just suspect or critical or just following blindly the influencers? By the way, what is your influence, influencer? I hope it's the Bible. I think it all begins with the Bible. If you say my influencer is Jesus and you're not reading your Bible, then you're not speaking the truth. And we need to understand, what is the role of the church? And how are we to be influencers within this body? And if we're not influencers in this body, we're probably not influencers on the outside. So we need to understand that there's competition out there in the world. Now, some people say, I don't want to go to church because they don't pay me. They don't give me anything for going. Well, how many influencers that are out there in the social media context would continue to do what they do if they weren't making something from it? They weren't gaining followers and bringing recognition to themselves. We have to ask this question. There are at least, I want to say, four types of social media influencers. And we could say there's four types of Christian influencers. But I won't go there right now. Let's just understand that there are what we call nano influencers, which are really have less than 10,000 followers. You'll see this on the screen. You have micro influencers. They have between 10 and 100,000 followers. Then you have macro, 100,000 to 500,000. And then those above 500,000 are called what? Mega influencers. So in the church, we probably have micro, we probably have, or nano, micro, macro, and mega influencers. It can depend on a variety of things. What influences you within the church, and how are you taking that influence outside the church? There are niches. Again, there's those that are influencers for beauty products. There are those who are influencers for traveling agents or cruise lines. There are those who are influencers for food products. Influencers, if you will, for technology. Influencers for gaming that are impacting your children, most likely, especially the young teens. Different kinds of influencers. Social media influencers that build their own audiences and personal channels. There's TikTokers and bloggers, and it goes on and on. Some of you probably have those apps up on your phone, ready to hit TikTok or ready to hit some other social media platform. Industry experts, those leaders in certain areas of professional business and are considered authoritative and knowledgeable. Those are influencers, journalists, so on and so forth. Traditional celebrities, athletes, actors, television hosts. It's amazing to me the people that have influence and how they're using that influence. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when an actor or an athlete tells me how to vote. I just feel like you're good at that specific sport or you're good at playing this particular part, but what makes you know more about what's right and wrong than I do? You know, I want to decide for myself. I don't want the media to decide who's going to be the next leader of our country. I want to have a part of it. And I think we all do. But we got to recognize that we have influence and we have to exercise that influence because that's what we're called to if we're followers of Jesus Christ. I say all that to ask you this question. From heaven's perspective, you know what I mean by that? By God's perspective. What would you say? Who are supposed to be the influencers in our world today? We are. Are we not called to be the light in the darkness? Are we not called to be the salt in the light? Yes, so we have a call to be influencers, but the question is not, do we recognize the call? The question is, like the religious leaders, are we doing what we're called to do? Or why would Jesus tell us something else and add more judgment to us? Sometimes it's His grace that's just getting us by because we know what we should be doing, but we're not doing it. And yet He's gracious. Hey, by the way, I thank God every day for His grace because I know I'm not doing everything God wants me to do. And I know oftentimes I get sidetracked, derailed, focused in the wrong direction, no doubt about it. But I always come back to that place of repentance. I always come back to that verse where John says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's a sweet verse. That's a great passage for me. You know, better than any song that I've sung. It's the scripture. Of course, if the song's about Scripture, it's going to have an impact upon my life. I want to be open to Scripture. That's what I'm saying. Jesus, before He ascended, He said these things to the church, and through the church, He said these things to us. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." And listen to this, "in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So that doesn't just include the Jews or the descendants of Abraham. It includes everyone who has come to the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. That we are His influencers. We are His witnesses. We are His ambassadors. And I use that word influencers just simply because it's become so prevalent in our world. At least people are taking some ownership of these things. And I would hope and pray that we too would take ownership of this calling of God upon our life. This came after His disciples had questioned Jesus too about what was to come. When will you restore the kingdom of heaven? We all want to know that. When will you restore Israel for that matter? And when you see these things, He says, know that these are signs that the hour is coming near. There's so many things going on in the world, particularly in the Middle East, that ought to make our ears perk up and our eyes able to see that the end times is coming. It's close. I was reading about a major social influencer, if not one of the largest social influencers, if you will, in modern America, if not globally. And he calls himself the Beast. Anybody heard of him? Maybe a few. The Beast. You can look it up. I'm not going to go into great details. He has a tremendous amount of followers. But I thought, how is that shaping? How's that influencing the world? So when the Beast of Revelation shows up, which is the Antichrist. How will they respond to that? You know, is there a softening? Is he serving as a forerunner, as John the Baptist did for Jesus? Very well could be. But I just say that to say to you that there's signs. If we're looking, you find what you're looking for. If you're not looking for signs, you won't see any signs. So Jesus wants us to understand this. By the way, the Greek word that's translated witness here is martys. Martys. It's where they also get the word martyrs. But he's not saying that you have to be my martyrs, but you have to be my martys. You have to be my witnesses. You have to be my ambassadors, if you will. You have to be my influencers. Can I interject that word there without you thinking I'm getting too loose on the translations? You know, the reality is the English word just simply means that we must be willing to count the cost. We must be willing to suffer if that's what God has for us. We must be willing to be faithful in the midst of whatever circumstances we find. Amen. The first disciples had personally witnessed the resurrection. They didn't need someone to tell them about it. They had witnessed it. They spent 40 days having Jesus visit them and tutor them on the kingdom to come and on the mission and the purpose to which they had been assigned. It's called the Great Commission found in Matthew 28, which is appointed to all of us to go and to make disciples and to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to let the Lord's guidance be known, let it be practiced in the church, let it be visible regularly. And we as a church, we get excited when we see people being baptized, you know, because they're acknowledging Jesus Christ as their Lord. They're acknowledging that they've asked for the forgiveness of their sins and they've been cleansed on the inside and they've got a new start. And boy, we want to encourage them, do we not? And that's why we stand and we applaud here when someone comes up out of the water, you know. We don't applaud before they're baptized. But that's an opportunity we won't miss. We want to acknowledge and to encourage them because we recognize that's one of our roles within the family is to encourage one another, to exhort one another to do what's right in God's sight. So let's start this morning by asking this question, what influences you? I want you to internalize that. I don't want you necessarily, if you tune me out for a few minutes, that's fine. As long as you're tuning in to what motivates or what influences you. In your life thus far, you've had many things that have influenced you. Family, friends, culture, just bukus. I don't even know what that word means, but bukus of influence, okay? Over-influence, most likely. And oftentimes you have to figure out your own destiny, your own direction, in spite of those things that have influenced you. But just think about this for a moment. Just think about how many of you were born before 1960, raise your hand. Don't be shy. Okay. Those of you that were born after 2000, raise your hand. All right. Just a handful. Pretty small, but a handful. How much have the influencers changed from, say, 1930 to 2026? We're going to notice, if you've noticed it, when I was younger, well, this is before me, even in my time, but early on, newspapers and magazines were the number one influencers. People promoted their products. They did everything. They told their stories, and both on magazines and ultimately the radio boom, there was an opportunity to influence people there. So you had newspapers, you had magazines, you had radio. In fact, they said there was a golden age of radio. I think most of us still have radios, right? I don't know if they're not in our car, the chances are we don't listen to the radio very much, right? But we had radios, and they still use radio advertisements and things to create, if you will, a common perception of things, same values, those kinds of things. But by the late 1940s, the television was rapidly rising. How many of you can remember when it was black and white? Now you're dating yourself. I remember black and white. I remember when Kennedy was assassinated. I remember the transition, if you will, of all of that in that short period of time. Television led to the rising influence of actors and their followers. And the people that they were able to make a difference in by their words and their statements. So in the 70s, you had people like Steve McQueen. Anybody recognize that name? Paul Newman, Sidney Poitier. actresses like Sophia Loren, Grace Kelly, Elizabeth Taylor, none. Raquel Welch. Oh, gosh, guys, you shouldn't have shown up then. Should have been a little while ago. But nonetheless, these are influencers. But has it been the right kind of influence? That's often the question. Television shows like Bonanza, Andy Griffin, The Andy Griffin Show, Gomer Pyle, The Beverly Hillbillies, Dick Van Dyke Show, Bewitched. Anybody recognize those? Then you were influenced by certain things, certain people in your life, some more so than others. These shows influenced America through commercials, through program content. These things changed in the 70s. How many remember the shows like Three's Company, Friends, The Partridge Family, The Waltons? Remember all these family shows, these good family shows? A little bit of a carryover from earlier time when you, Donna Reed and some of those things that influenced us. And then you got into All in the Family. Boy, that's another whole story there. But they were trying to influence the population, if you will. You had Happy Days, Starsky and Hutch, The Dukes of Hazzard, MASH, The Love Boat. Oh, my gosh. Wonder Woman. Way to keep it down, guys. I appreciate that a lot. All right, Chips. I mean, I don't know if you remember any of these shows, but I want you to know that as the shows are changing, they're saying something about the culture. They're saying something about what they think influences the world. Otherwise, they don't get listeners. They don't get people to watch, to tune in. For women, there were people like Jackie Kennedy, Diana Spencer. Do you know who Diana Spencer? If you don't say Princess Diana, people don't know who you're talking about nowadays. Set major global style trends, as did others. Designers like Ralph Lauren. Actresses like Twiggy, short hair, mini dresses. Singers like Diana Ross, others. These people come on the scene and begin to change. And now we're seeing it today. They have a show called American Idol, America's Idol. And the influence that these young people have and bring to the tube, if you will, into your home. It's amazing what we open our homes up to. We wouldn't let criminals walk in our door, but we'll let them come in through the TV screen and do all kinds of atrocities. I can't believe we even want to watch some of that stuff. There's something wrong inside of us when we do. But in every generation, I just want you to see that there's different influencers. And what I want to do this morning is help you see what and who should be the greatest influencers upon our life. And I won't be seeking to give you my personal perspective in this. My perspective will come from the Word of God, from the heart of God Himself. In the ancient world, biblically speaking, the early influencers were people like Noah and Abraham and Moses, Joseph, and many others. And then kings like David and Solomon. They were huge influencers. Then the period of the prophets and the judges came, and the landscape changed a little bit. People were influenced by those who were proclaiming judgment. And we've kind of had that in our own world where it was popular from the pulpit to preach on hell, and if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to die, and you're going to fry in hell forever. They've kind of most of, for the large part, have left that aside and had softer, more loving messages, more messages of exhortation to do what God is asking you to do, not trying to intimidate or scare you or coerce you into the kingdom. You can't do that anyway. We're not supposed to lead that way. The Romans came into the scene. We had conjoined authorities, Caesar, the Roman authority, and then you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, which was the elite, like the Supreme Court of the Israelites. And those were the world that Jesus, this was the world that Jesus entered and was confronted with. Pilate allowed the religious leaders to control the temple complex itself and left them to employ their own security forces to maintain order, to maintain sanctity and compliance with Jewish order with regard to the temple. Another influencer was Herod the Great at that time, in this world that Jesus came into. He had rebuilt the temple after a fire, after it had been almost completely destroyed, but he'd rebuilt it, give them that back, and trying to gain some popularity amongst the people. They were all influencers, struggling to be influential, if you will, and begin to predict the direction that people were leaning toward. And this is what you find even with the religious leaders when Jesus was confronting them with this question, who do you say John the Baptist is? They were afraid of the people. They knew that they needed the following of the people. They were afraid to speak the truth because they were afraid they would lose the following. And it's so sad. one of the things you realize that there's different kinds of influencers. There's influencers who just influence you by their good nature, by their positive character, by their values. And then there's those people that want to influence you because they have authority. And they exercise that authority over you. Individually, we have no authority. Collectively, as a church, we do have some authority. And we're oftentimes called to exercise that authority. But the reality is that we want to influence our kids more out of love than we do out of discipline. Okay? We want them to know that we love them. And the same thing's true in the church. It has to come from the church. We have to, our platform that we have to stand on is love. We love our neighbor as ourselves. And we can't say we love our neighbors if we don't love God. Because it's one of our calling is to make sure our neighbors know that God loves them. And that's where we got to start. One of the things you realize as you grow older is that the things that influence you the most are those things that have authority over you. That's the culture. That's the environment. It was parents, then it was teachers, then it's law enforcement. They all have their sphere of authority. And this is a fact, is authenticated on a regular basis by those who resist. And this is, again, exposes the carnal nature, exposes willfulness and stubbornness. Those who resist authority on a regular basis, they don't like anyone telling them what to do. Now, that's going to cover a large group. I realize that. But when it comes to those acknowledged authorities in public and you don't recognize those authorities, then you separate yourself from the rest of the crowd. And this is not uncommon. We see this a lot today. There's a declining respect for authority in the world. And we must agree in the sense that, I'll use degree again, to some degree, we must obey the laws. Without laws, there's total anarchy. Everyone does what's right in their own sight. And this is the challenge for us, to find some unity around what we recognize are the laws that God wants us to obey. You can't really just say God wants you to obey all laws. Not all laws are good laws. Not all laws are supportive of God's laws. But it's one of the things that we wrestle with in our own lives, and we have to give an account for ourselves. But as a church, too, we've got to find some alignment there. I remember this comment by Theodore Roosevelt. I think we can put it up on the screen, that he said a long, long time ago, "No man is above the law, and no man is below it, nor do we ask any man's permission when we ask him to obey." That ought to be something that we can resonate, we can concur on. If you want to, you know, keep your home, you're inevitably going to have to pay taxes. How many of you like paying taxes? Not a single hand went up. But you think you paid off your home and you're done with payments? No. In fact, some folks said their homes appreciated so much more over what they initially paid. They're paying more on taxes now than they paid to pay off their home. Boy, you get amen over the strangest things. That's interesting. But it is so true. If you want to stay healthy at some point, you're going to have to pay the doctors. I didn't hear an amen there. That's interesting. If you don't pay, you'll have to pay attorneys. We got one attorney in the crowd. You may very well spend the rest of your life penniless and on the street or incarcerated if you don't to some degree obey the laws. And it's so true with Scripture. God has given us 10 commandments. He says these commandments summarize the whole law. And you can pay me now or pay me later. But the reality is you're going to be held accountable to those laws. It used to be when I was in high school, elementary, middle school for that matter, you had the 10 commandments posted in the classroom. And the kids were told that these are the laws of God and you should obey them. You won't see them there today. But this is how our worldly system works. It's a world that functions well only if there is recognized functional authority that does what it was created to do. Obey the laws and the authority will leave you alone. Yield to authority and things will go better for you in the end. think these are still, by and large, truths that we need to embrace. Biblically speaking, there are three sources of influence that every born-again Christ follower, every child of God, ought to acknowledge as necessary and required influencers. These are not optional, but they do compete for our attention. And these three influencers will influence what you know and what you think about. And this is on the back of the program as well. Number one, I say the Bible. Knowing and sharing the blank there is the Word of God is the way to be eternally influential. If you want to be used of God to be eternally influential, you must know and you must be willing to share the Word of God. The Bible says that unless one accepts Jesus' authority as divine, one cannot accept who Jesus truly is. And that was the problem for the Pharisees, the religious leaders. They rejected the authority of Jesus as divine, and so they refused to be properly influenced by him. And so if you do not read the Bible, if you think you can know Jesus apart from the Scriptures, you're misleading yourself. The second one is Jesus. Knowing and following the Son of God is the way to find acceptance in the presence of God. Giving authority to King Jesus in one's life means you are giving him the right to influence and to command you. Perhaps when it comes to who or what influences us, nothing is more important than acknowledging who and what has authority over us in our life. How many marital problems could be solved if people recognize, I'm not the authority, you're not the authority, God is the authority. And if God is on the throne in here, not just the Holy Spirit taking up space in here, but we're yielding to the Holy Spirit in our life, then we're going to acknowledge God's sovereignty in every area of our life, especially in these relationships, these covenant relationships that we've invited God to be a part of. The last one is the church. The Word, then Jesus, then the church. These are mandatory, obligatory influencers upon our life. If we're going to be the person that God created us to be, the follower of Jesus that he wants us to be, we have to acknowledge that the church is a necessity. Being a contributing influencer within the body of Christ, submitting to the authority of Christ, is what makes us an influencer beyond these four walls. This is clearly taught in Matthew 18 and numerous other passages in the New Testament. We are told that whoever we give authority over us will control our future, our destiny. I'm here to tell you that if you give authority over to the Word of God, to the Son of God, and to the people of God, you'll be given authority one day to be the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. Believe it or not, the one person who has the greatest influence upon your life is not someone else, but yourself. If you will confess you're a sinner in need of a Savior, open your heart to the Lordship of Christ in your life, you will open the door for the Holy Spirit to come in and transform you, to help you live your life in a way that you never dreamed possible, because now you're Spirit-driven. We live in a world where there's different things that push us or propel us down the road. It could be a bicycle. It could be an engine, a gas engine. It could be a battery. But the reality is something is going to propel us down the road. And we need to understand this is true in our life, that there are certain things that will influence us and will empower us in a direction that we want, that God wants us to go. But we have to utilize those things. I remember when I was young, there was a song, input, output, what goes in, what comes out, input, output. Your mind is a computer whose input, output, daily you must choose. Something like that. Anybody remember that song? That's really embarrassing, isn't it? This old song. It's the old, I should have said this, it's the old garbage in, garbage out slogan. Yeah, you know that one. Okay, all right. Boy, Martha, take note. Don't have me sing that again. All right. Let me say this too. How you fill your cup will determine what spills over in your life. It's important that we recognize. At a young age, I was encouraged to be a leader, not a follower. I was told that what I put in my mind would have an influence on not only who I am in the eyes of others, but more importantly, on who I would become. The Bible says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things below. Control what you focus upon. What you get stamped on the walls of your mind becomes those things that will influence your life, your health, your heart, your spirit. And the Bible admonishes us to guard our hearts above all else. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it'll show it on the screen there. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or turn to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Guard your heart. Can you say that out loud? Guard your heart. Now, I'm glad you didn't look at someone and say, guard your heart. But I hope you internalize what that really means, that you have this responsibility to guard your heart. Don't let the things come in through some portal, whether it's the eyes or the ears, that's going to stain or mar your heart. Guard your heart, please. Understand the importance of it. We understand it on a physical level. Why is it we don't give it the same weight on the spiritual side? As Tony Robbins would say, where your focus goes, energy flows. There's some truth to that. Or simply put, what you think about, you bring about. Simple little cliches, I realize that, but there's some powerful influencers there when we acknowledge that. I don't know who or what has been the greatest influence in your life, but I can tell you this with authority and confidence of its effectualness. Know the Word of God, and you'll know God. And if you know God, you'll know the children of God. And together, we'll make it into the presence of God. Be a contributor. Be an influencer for the kingdom of God, the body of Christ on earth, the bride of Christ, if you will. Be obedient to Him. And if you are, there are at least seven things, and then I close with this, that will influence who you are becoming and who you will be. Seven things that will influence you, that will tell you with regard to who and to what you say exists the greatest influence upon your life. Seven things that you can control that will influence the direction you go, that will make a difference in your life. Number one, here it is. Watch what you watch. Read the second one out loud. The third. The fourth. And the fifth, and then number six, and number seven, amen. See, you have control. You're behind the wheel. You make the right decision based on what you know from the Word of God. And if you do these things, we will be influencers for the kingdom of God. Far beyond just this room and this place, but global influencers. Yes, globally. Because why? Because we have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. These other people that are becoming these great influencers are doing it without that power, without that influence by and large. There may be a few, but are we taking advantage of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life? If we are, then we're getting the word out there about God and His love. We're getting the word out there about what He's done for us, what His word teaches us, and the family that He's given us to help us stay on the straight and narrow. If you're not plugged into a church, I encourage you. But I would say that the most important thing is you get into the Bible, the Word of God, then you come to know the Son of God, and then naturally, if you've done those things, you'll plug into the church of God. Amen? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father God, we do acknowledge that there are many influencers in our life. There are external ones that are worldly, that are carnal, that are temporary, and then there are the eternal influencers. Help us to be a people of the book. Help us to be truly followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. And help us to affiliate, to connect, to encourage and relate with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.